Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. Join Josh and Chuck, the guys who bring you Stuff You Should Know, as they take a trip around the world to help you get smarter in a topsy-turvy economy. Check out the all-new Super Stuffed Guide to the Economy from HowStuffWorks.com, available now exclusively on iTunes.
Welcome back to High Speed Stuff. Thanks for tuning in. As usual, I'm Ben, hanging out here with auto editor Scott Benjamin. Scott, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Did you see that one coming?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to keep, I'll keep it fresh, but I think this might be a new one. I don't know if you've heard of this.
Okay.
Have you heard of segmented tires?
I have heard of segmented tires.
Really?
Yeah, it's a brand new idea, though.
Oh, okay, so... Okay, cool. Well, all right, so I'm not too far off the mark.
Yeah, it's pretty new. I mean, I wouldn't say brand new, but it's relatively new, yeah.
All right, well, what exactly is this? Does the tire break into sections?
It does. This is crazy. I mean, it's really difficult to describe it, so maybe it's worth, you know, checking out online and discovering what this really looks like. But it's called DAWS. That's the acronym for it, which really means Dynamically Augmenting Wheel System.
Okay.
Okay. And the wheels are actually split into 8 segments. And so you're thinking, that's kind of strange. How does that happen? Well, you know, there's no air in these tires. It's pieces of rubber that are somehow adhered to a rim that is broken up into these 8 sections.
Okay.
So it's not a pneumatic tire like we're accustomed to seeing right now.
Okay, so that's 2 big leaps, I guess.
Dramatically different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Absence of air and the absence of, I guess, a single
yeah,
tread, right?
Continuous piece of rubber that's on your 4 corners of your car. So what's really crazy about this is that, okay, that's odd enough. These segments kind of slide back and forth across each other, so that if you're looking at the front of the wheel, let's say the car is headed towards you.
Okay.
You're looking at the front of the vehicle, and the vehicle makes a turn, a sharp turn. The segments slide against each other so that one segment always remains flat on the surface of the ground. The rest, the kind of the weight of the vehicle draws that rim or that system that's allowed to slide a little bit. I don't know if I'm describing this right or not, Ben.
But I think if
you're looking at the front of the wheel, mm-hmm. it almost gets a stair step appearance as it goes from the bottom to the top. And that can be either direction, depends on which way the vehicle is leaning, which way the turn is.
Oh, so that's the augmentation there is in terms of handling, huh?
That's right. The wheel's changing shape, really. The wheel with the tire connected, remember, these segments have pieces of rubber adhered to it somehow. I don't know how they're attached. But the idea is that the wheel or the tread remains flat on the pavement at all times. And that's important. I mean, that's grip. That's kind of like what your shoes would do if you were to quickly change directions on a basketball court. Mm. You know, your foot would remain planted your body would, you know, head the other direction, but your foot stays flat because your ankle is allowed to, you know, it gives it that flexibility that you need.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's an excellent comparison, too.
Oh.
Talk about, you brought that one home.
Yeah, well, thanks.
But that's not to say that this is definitely the future of tires. This is just one concept.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, there's just a concept, and there's an entire program laid out here with you know, conceptual drawings and animations even, and there's even a scale model that's been built of this system, this Dawes system. If you look it up, you'll be able to find it. It's DAWS. Again, that's dynamically augmenting wheel system, and it's pretty unique. It's really kind of a cool thing to see. It's an interesting idea. Feasible? I don't know. Seems pretty complex. To me, it just seems that, you know, I don't know, the pneumatic tire has been around for so long. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, it's a comfortable ride. I don't know how comfortable it would be to ride in a vehicle that has wheels that have eight sections. I mean, I would think that they would, well, maybe not, but I mean, it just seems to me like they would be almost slapping the ground as you drove. And also no air. I mean, that's got to be rough. It's kind of like, you know, those wagon wheels. You remember the difference in wagons that, you know, when you were a kid, you're pulling a wagon, one would have, you know, tires with air in them.
Yeah.
And nice smooth ride, soft, you know, it was pretty quiet. The other one had those real hard tires.
Yes.
Remember how loud those were and bumpy and, you know, difficult?
Definitely clackers.
Yeah, that's right. Clackers. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's, to me, that's just what I, you know, my impression of what that would be like to ride in that car.
Sure. Neither of us have ridden in a car with these because they're not out yet.
No, they're just, it's, again, just a design concept that, you know, someone came up with. And it's an interesting thought because, I mean, how often really does someone try to reinvent the wheel, I guess, is really what they're doing.
Ah, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And that is what they're doing.
Yeah,
it's ambitious.
Really. It's very ambitious,
and we know that fortune favors the bold, but I have to point out one of my prejudices. Can I say that?
Sure.
I don't think I said that correctly.
That's fine.
Well, one of the things that I'm skeptical about concerning any kind of new technology like this, my concern is basically directly related to the number of moving parts, because the more moving parts you have in any mechanical system, the more likely it will be that something breaks down, one of those parts.
I agree. Yeah.
So the pneumatic tire works so well because there are so few moving parts, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And this thing has more than eight times the likelihood of something going wrong.
I'll tell you, it's a lot more than eight times the likelihood, because you've got bearings that are sliding against each other. You've got a moving, you know, a hub that has all of this activity going on. It's not nearly as simple as a typical wheel assembly that you've seen, well, any time in your past. It's something completely unique. You really have to check it out to see what's going on there. But there, you're right. There's a lot of moving parts, and to me, same thing, same thought, is that I think that you know, it's just that many more opportunities for something to go wrong.
See,
now,
and,
one quick thing though, no flat tires.
Oh,
that's about
yes.
Well, that's maybe one benefit.
Touché, Scott.
Yeah, let's
no flat tires.
Yeah.
Perhaps de-segmented.
That's about all I can come up with, though.
That was pretty good, though.
Yeah, good.
I was surprised. Yeah. But you see why I bring up this point about narrowing down the amount of moving parts in any system here. When we take the pneumatic tire, which, yes, does have some moving parts and is a relatively simple design, and it's ingenious, are there any other tire technologies that are, how did you say, reinventing the wheel?
As a matter of fact, there are. I knew you were going to ask this. That's why I've got a few available here we can talk about. One that kind of goes along the same idea as what we just were speaking of there, the Dawes system. I keep saying similar, but it's not really similar. It's different. It's the Tweel.
The Tweel.
Tweel. Yeah, it's like a wheel with a T at the beginning. The Tweel.
So the tire that is a wheel?
That's right.
Yep, okay.
That's right. And again, no air. Nowhere. It's a flexible, but it's a single piece of rubber that goes around this this Tweel. It's pretty interesting. It's like the center hub of the wheel is similar to what you'd find on a car right now.
Okay.
But it doesn't go all the way out to the edge of where, you know, like the material would be for the rubber for the tire where it meets the road. There's an area in between that's these flexible spokes. They're real heavy duty. They're real thick. They look like bicycle spokes from a distance, you know, from that, you know, from the side angle.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're really crazy looking. They look bizarre on a car. but it's a single piece of rubber again that goes all the way around, and it supports the weight of the vehicle. These flexible spokes can support the weight of a vehicle, and I think they showed it on an Audi. It looks like maybe an A6, I think. Again, these deformable parts, you know, these flexible spokes and deformable parts that even the center is deformable. It moves a little bit, but it's rigid. A little more rigid, I should say, than the flexible spokes on the outside edge.
Sure.
But if you get a chance to check these out online, do so, because there are videos of these things, and it looks pretty crazy. Because, you know, the car is in our article, the car is going over a curb, and the wheel is totally deformed where it goes over the top of the curb. It doesn't affect the ride at all. It kind of absorbs that shock. It's almost like it's those spokes are taking the place of the air in the tire, really.
That's what I was going to say. Are they impersonating air?
But again, see, you get the idea that, you know, this is another designer's shot at, redesigning the wheel. I mean, it's interesting, and it's something that, you know, we haven't seen before. There's no air in it, so again, no flat tires.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this one may have a little bit more legs to me than the last one that we saw.
And this one actually is in a prototype phase. You saw it on the
Audi. It is, yeah, I've seen it. In fact, other applications include, I think they said military would have a use for something like this, and I could see where that would be very valuable for them.
Definitely.
I think construction equipment was another one because, you know, they're on job sites all day that are, you know, rugged terrain, and, you know, this absorbs some of the shock. It's very durable. You have to worry about changing a tire when you're in, muck and mud and rocks and, you know, all that that type of environment. That's no good. So I think the Tweel's actually a pretty good solution, but they do look odd. I mean,
they do. For our listeners, Scott showed me some photographs of this, and Scott, I believe what you're saying intellectually when you say that these Tweel's can support the weight of a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't look like they're able to.
No, they don't. And one of the examples in our article is on a Segway. So you can imagine a smaller vehicle or possibly a bicycle. I can see it used in that as well.
Okay.
I just don't know. I'd really have to see the technology, adopted by somebody else.
Sure.
I don't think I'd want to be the first person to have these on my car on the road.
Yeah, maybe it's not time to guinea pig autos for it.
I think I would wait. I mean, I'd wait and see on that one, but it's an interesting idea, and I think it's got legs.
Yeah. What are there any other tire ideas?
Yes, there are. As a matter of fact, we've got another one that I want to mention here is Q tires. You ever heard of Q tires?
What are Q tires?
Okay.
Okay, I'm not even going to guess.
Okay. You don't even want to try?
I think I would miss it because there are so many interesting words that begin with a Q. I'd probably be way off the mark.
I don't think it really has much to do with Q. I mean, I didn't look into that, sorry. But the thing about Q tires, they've got retractable studs.
What do you mean?
Like retractable foul weather studs for the tire tread.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of takes the place of, let's say, a chain system or a you can buy tires with studs in them. For ice and snow.
And just change them out seasonally?
Yeah, that's the problem, is that you change them out seasonally, and they're constantly there. The cool thing about Q-tires is that it's a push-button operation.
Oh.
Pneumatically operated push-button operation from inside the car. You push the button, the studs, you know, appear or retract, depends on, you know, where you are.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about this is that, let's say you get out of that icy condition, that snowy condition, you can retract the studs. Your tires operate just as normal. They don't, you know, wear on the road surface as much as, you know, someone using chains would, or somebody that maybe has studs on the tires that leave the studs on all year.
Sure.
And you don't have to, you know, worry about, you know, swapping tires back and forth. But it's an interesting idea. It's really cool. They're, again, prototype. They're trying to sell the idea. And I think this one also has some possibility.
Yeah, you think this one could take off?
I do. Yeah, I think this one's really cool. This is a good idea. I mean, if you're in the right environment, we're in Atlanta. It's not really the best, you know, idea for us. We have one day of snow a year, maybe,
right?
Which we recently had. I mean, but if you're in the northern climates or you're in the mountains, I think that this is a good idea.
Sure, like Colorado, maybe parts of Michigan.
Yeah, yeah, I really do. I think it's a good idea. How about you? I mean, you think it's valid?
I think it's awesome. From what I hear, it mm-hmm. sounds like a smart design mm-hmm. because obviously people don't want to have to change those tires repeatedly. And if you already have changed out tires or put chains on a tire, you don't want to take them off prematurely, so you might even leave them on longer than you need them, right?
So, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you don't want to leave them on too long. I mean, in fact, I don't think you're allowed to. I think there are certain areas that you're not allowed to have chains on your vehicle.
Sure, even road by road, but that's the beauty of it. You can just push the button.
Push the button, that's all. Yeah, simple as that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. There's one more.
One more different kind of tire?
One more, yeah. And this one's already out there. This one is, but I just don't think a lot of people have heard about it because I know I hadn't until very recently. We have an article on this topic. Self-regenerating tire tread.
What do you mean?
This one comes into play for large vehicles like semis.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's not really a passenger vehicle thing yet. Michelin makes a self-regenerating tire tread. Kind of, it's a very interesting idea, really. I mean, it saves a lot of money for people that own fleets of vehicles, semi-truck owners. They may own hundreds of vehicles. You know, the cost of these things is probably about 6 to 10% more, I think is what they said, for the cost of the tire. But they can gain 30% on the other side, that, the tire will last 30% longer. So it's an indefinite tire. You can't continually regenerate tread, of course. There's an amount that, there's a finite amount of rubber there, of course. The idea is, though, that you get more wear out of this tire than you would out of a typical tire.
Because of the tread or something? Or?
Because of the tread, yeah. This is. I have to visualize this one more time. I wish I could draw this for you, but... if you imagine a cross-section of a tire, if you think about the depth of a tread, let's say you get a new tire.
Sure.
You know how deep that tread is, really, on the tire, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, if the tire tread could only be deeper, you'd have more wear in it, right?
Okay.
Okay, so you would be able to, let's say the tire was thicker material, the rubber on the contact point for the road was thicker, you'd be able to cut that tread deeper into that piece of rubber and have more wear out of it, right?
Yes.
Okay, the problem with that is that at a certain height, it becomes kind of flexible, and the handling of the tire would be sloppy.
I see.
So it would almost wiggle. It would be that tall. There's a reason that it's cut to the depth that it is, and that's for stability and for, channeling weather way, et cetera.
Yeah.
The idea behind these tires is that it has that thickness. The way it gets around the problem of the stability and the... the wiggling would be that it has a second tread pattern that's cut beneath the first tread pattern, and that tread pattern isn't exposed until the first one wears away. So what you're doing is you're exposing a new layer of tread that's cut in a completely different manner.
When
you get to a certain point, the tread on your tire actually changes. It's not the same tread that you had, let's say on these big trucks 100,000 miles ago.
Wow, that's trippy.
We're talking about a semi. Trippy.
Yeah. It's trippy, man. Because honestly, if I was driving a semi and I didn't know about that, and my company had bought those tires, of course you're going to notice many small details about your vehicle.
Sure.
And it would be disconcerting to walk out and think that someone had changed your tires in
secret.
It would
seem odd, because you might. I mean, if you pay careful attention to details like that, you would notice. Yeah.
Okay, well, I see, and not to trivialize it by calling it trippy. I mean, that is a compliment.
No, that's fine. Yeah. And I mean, this really is a tremendous benefit for somebody that owns a fleet of vehicles, like we said, because these tires, if they're $400 a piece, let's say.
Okay.
You have to buy 18 or 20 or 24 for each vehicle that you own, and you may own hundreds of vehicles.
Yeah.
You can see where 30% gain in value, in distance would be helpful, because, they may last 300,000 miles. But you're saving a pile of money. I mean, you could get into hundreds of thousands of dollars in value
very
for something
easily,
like this.
Yeah. Very quickly.
Again, not made for passenger cars right now. So we're out of luck. But if you get a big rig anytime soon, you can get these.
That's cool, man. So let me sum up these tires that we've spoken of recently, and then I've got a question that I want to ask you.
Okay.
So. If I'm to understand this correctly, segmented tires are real conceptually, but they're not on the market yet.
Correct.
Okay. And Tweels and Q tires are both prototypes that are moving, hopefully, toward a market.
Yeah, I think they are.
Okay. And self-regenerating tires are already one of the best-kept secrets, I guess.
That's right. They're already out there, and, over-the-road truckers already know about these things.
Yeah, and we just can't get them as of yet for...
That's right.
Monte Carlos and Honda Civics.
That's right, yeah.
So Okay, so I think we've got that. Before we close out, I wanted to ask you, since you're the expert, do you have any ideas about improvements for tires?
Oh, that's a lot of pressure. That's improvements for tires. I mean, we talked about these already, and these are really some pretty groundbreaking ideas.
All right.
What mine, I guess if I could do anything to tires, it's not really groundbreaking, but it would do more along the lines of wear. And I'm sure there's probably someone that can, you know, is going to be screaming, you know, I'll tell you why they don't do that as soon as I say this, but why does it have to be, why do they have to be made of rubber? Why do they have to, you know, I know they're designed to wear. I know that, you know, that's part of the benefit of having rubber tires is that they wear, they get hot, they get sticky, they adhere to the road, they wear well. But it seems like, you know, with synthetic materials advancing the way that they have over the past decade or, you know, more, why not make them out of something new? Or, how about making, you know, the bands that are inside them instead of steel? Why aren't they carbon fiber? I know the cost is, you know, ridiculous for that, but
for right now,
yeah. Or, you know, why not some other form of, you know, material, a composite material of some kind that, you know, is that much stronger? It just seems like there's a lot of tweaking that can be done to tires.
That's a pretty good point.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, that's the best I can come up with, really. How about you? Anything?
Oh man, you're embarrassing
groundbreaking
me.
Or?
Yeah, after the point you just made, mine's a little bit embarrassing.
That's okay. I also thought of colored tires. Why aren't they white or yellow or red or pink or whatever color people want?
Oh, you know what? You know, probably somebody does have those.
Yeah,
we might get an email from that.
So what's your idea?
Okay, just really very briefly.
Sure.
And I'll apologize to my mom in advance, but she has a bit of a reputation. If she has a flat tire or something, she will give me a call to show up and change the tire. And of course, I will because I love you, Mom.
Very good son.
Oh, thank you. But the problem with that part of the design, you know, it can be quite difficult for someone to take off a tire, to change it out, you know, especially mm-hmm. in a hazardous road condition or something. Mm-hmm. And so originally I thought maybe there should be some sort of system in place to take those tires off more easily, some kind of push button thing. And of course, as you pointed out to me before, push button technology is really a sword that cuts two ways, because it would also be easier for someone to take it. Anyone could push a button. So maybe, I don't know, hiding it behind some sort of lock system.
Sure, a key-operated system or something like that, maybe.
Right.
That's not a bad idea. There, for a while, there were single knockoff hubs on vehicles that, you know, you'd even
get. Oh, that's cool.
You know, a lot of the British cars had single knockoff hubs, and you have a wrench that you'd put on there, and then you would hit it with, I think there was even a copper hammer that would come with the car, something soft, you know, a mallet. That's a good idea. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I mean, I myself have trouble getting wheels off a car sometimes. I mean, if they've been really, you know, put on, if they've been on there for several years,
right?
Before that happens, yeah, I mean, you have to jump on the end of the wrench in order to break that that rust barrier. But yeah, I can see your point that, you know, it's tough.
Well, I like the point that you're making about materials, and I guess really that's a pretty good note for us to wrap this up on. Do you have anything?
Oh no,
people need to know about tires.
I'm out. I'm done.
I'm out. Okay,
yeah, that's it. That's all I know about tires.
Well, if you're out, then I'm out as well.
That's more than I know about tires. I was just
You did a great job, I think.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Well, that about wraps it up for us. For all our listeners out there, thanks for tuning in. And not to embarrass Scott, but he's a little bit too modest to brag about the new High Speed Stuff blog.
No, that's right. Yeah, we've got a blog now that's you can find on our homepage. And I post there occasionally, you know, at least once a day. And it gives a chance for readers to, you know, give me some feedback, or listeners, rather, to give me some feedback. And it's interesting. Check it out. There's a lot of good topics, and we try to keep up on news and things like that, too.
And you can find the blog on our homepage at howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids.
Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.